go back to the other parts of the tshuva. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing, how to learn the sugya in terms of whether or not there's be a chiyuv for the noef to tell the husband of the wife that he's chayv to divorce his wife. And we said that according to the Rambam, he would definitely be chayv to tell, and according to the Rush, he would not be chayv to tell. That's where we were holding. Then we threw out another tzad l'kula. Maybe there's another possibility if we hold like Tosfos, that there's more room to be makel by a nazir, because a nazir is nitin l'sheila. And then we said that, nah, but in the end, there's, first of all, it's not so pashut that the Rama accepts that shita. And then even if he did, we wanted to suggest that it doesn't matter, because I thought it would be impossible to be medame kiddushin to Nazirus, even though there is a concept of hafkin rabban al kiddushin minei. That's not something which demonstrates the chomer or the kalus of kiddushin at all. That's like it's so much more the exception than the rule. The idea of hataras nadarim is part and parcel of what nadarim is all about, and therefore I didn't think the dimyon worked at all. Afal pichein, the Noda Bihuda doesn't like the dimyon for a different reason, which is that he thinks that you can't be medama nisr lav to nisr karis, and therefore he said that it wasn't enough. Okay, now he's got a couple more possibilities. So I think we're up to the part where he says v'adayin yesh makom iti lomar shagam ladas haramam yesh lachu shal kavod abriyas v'lo lodia. So now we're basically back to square one, which is it's a machlokes between the Rush and the Ramba, which ends up being a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, so which is good for the Noda Bihuda, because now he says that if you hold like the Ramah, you don't have to tell. Now we don't love to leave things as a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, so therefore Noda Bihuda wants to then bring in the Rambam and try to say how even in this case perhaps the Rambam would agree that he doesn't have to tell. Why? Because the pasuk below vishkilayim sheposhit me'al chaveiro afilu b'shuk kilayim b'shuk shiny shekol haroe yira be'enav shezeh lavush kilayim. Everyone who sees this guy will realize that he's wearing shatnas. Right? Apparently, what allowed you to recognize that this guy was wearing shatnez will also allow everybody else to recognize that this guy's wearing shatnez, and they're going to also see that he's violating this avera in public. So, meaning, what's so special about you? This is the only guy. It's ironic that this guy is the only guy on earth who doesn't know he's wearing shatnez. So you know he's wearing shatnez. Everybody else will know he's wearing shatnez, and therefore you have to rip it off of him. So he says, "Lemaisa, this gasha lovish shogeg mikol makom akol roish who lovish kilayim ve'ina kol yodim shu shogeg." Not everybody knows the guy's violating it b'shogeg. V'yesh kan chilul Hashem v'lachein ein cholkin kavod v'chein daik lishna deRabbi Yehuda. This goes back. We said this a couple days ago. Maybe that's the pshat when it says kol makom sheyesh bo chilul Hashem ein cholkin kavod l'rav. When there is a chilul Hashem, the standard pshat in the Gemara is chilul Hashem means a violation of the Torah, a public violation of the Torah, or any violation of the Torah really. But here he's learning chilul Hashem kipshuto, that the guy wearing the shatnez is doing an avera in public that everyone knows is an avera, and that's what makes it a chilul Hashem, right? We all, you know, this is a very important yisod, that we have to know what a chilul Hashem really is. What's a chilul Hashem? A chilul Hashem is to not say thank you to the bus driver, right? No, that's not false. A kiddush Hashem is to do the right thing in public, and a chilul Hashem is to do the wrong thing in public. But what do you mean by the wrong thing and the right thing? A chilul Hashem is defined by the Gemara in Sanhedrin as violating the Torah in public, specifically in front of other Jews, 10 of them, right? And a kiddush Hashem is upholding the Torah in public. That's the definition. Now, the Rambam, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisrei Torah, and you look in other sources as well, they talk about this. Also, there's another idea of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem to write, and that's really what the Gemara at the end of Maseches Yuma refers to as Ahavas Hashem, Sheyehei Shem Shamayim Misahev Al Yadecha, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? The Gemara at the very end of Maseches Yuma, because the Mishnah says that for the Avera of Chilul Hashem, even Yom HaKippurim is not going to be Mechaper. Right, it's too serious of an avera to create a chilul Hashem. So then the Gemara then goes through possibilities. Hey chidami chilul Hashem. What's an example of a chilul Hashem? And they go through the Amoraim listing off certain things which we would not consider to be a chilul Hashem, but if they would have done it, would have been a chilul Hashem. And then the Gemara says, and then the Gemara goes right into the statement of V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha Shiyehei Shem Shamayim Misahev Al Yadcha. Right, that you should lead to the name of Hashem being beloved through your actions, which goes back a little bit to the shmuz I gave on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, which is really that the whole idea is that the people who are considered Bnei Torah, if they act in a way which causes people to love the Torah, so then that is tremendous Kiddush Hashem, and that leads to Ahavas Shem Shamayim. That leads to people loving Hashem and His Torah. I'll try to speak more about that tomorrow in the Parsha Shir, that I want to talk a little bit about. That was also a popular request about Kanos, and you know, obviously the Kanos of Pinchas, the Kanos of Eliyahu HaNavi, as well as Kanos Bizman HaZeh, which I have very little patience for. But the specifically, you know, the goal, as we see from the Gemara, is that Shem Shamayim should be Misahev Al Yadecha, that people should act in a way that causes other people to want to get to know Hashem. And that's how the Rambam paskins. If you look in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, what does he say? He says that there's a mitzvah called Ahavas Hashem. How do you do the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem? You bring people close to Hashem. If you love somebody, you want to shout it from the rooftops. You want to tell people how great Hashem is. And you bring other people close to Hashem. So that this, I think, all flows hand in hand with what the Gemara in Yuma is saying, that bringing Ahava to Hashem is part of the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem Elokecha. So that's the idea of making a Kiddush Hashem. When we say nowadays colloquially making a Kiddush Hashem, it's really part and parcel of the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. But really the technical definition of Kiddush Hashem is keeping the Torah or upholding the Torah in public, as opposed to just stam doing nice things in public, which is more begedder, just again from a technical perspective, it's more begedder, I think, the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. Right, which brings people to love Hashem. Obviously, there is inherent in that is a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shamayim. There's no doubt. But just if you're being technical, I think that's how you'd break it up. So back to what the Noda B'Yuda is saying, that if a person would be wearing shatnez in public, that's a Chilul Hashem. When there's 10 Jews or more who know that this is shatnez, that's a Chilul Hashem. So maybe the whole reason the Rambam says you have to rip it off of him is that this Nebuch is the only guy who doesn't realize he's wearing shatnez. Everyone else in the world knows he's wearing shatnez. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us to make sure that he is no longer violating this terrible Avera of Chilul Hashem, right? And that's why it says it in such a lashon in the Gemara. Kol makom sheish chilul Hashem in cholkin kavod l'rav. In fact, the Rambam picked up on the lashon kavod l'rav, right? The Rambam writes that even if the person is his Rebbe, he's still supposed to rip it off of him because it says in cholkin kavod l'rav, right? So you see, he picked up on the Rebbe part. So he says maybe picking up on the chilul Hashem part also. Harei dafka makom sheish chilul Hashem va'al zehu demasik l'chalik bein kumase l'shev al tase. Maybe that is the case, that there's going to be a big Chilul Hashem. The cave in the Benidon Didan, says the Noda B'Yehuda, since in our case, in Shum Adam Yodea Sha'isha Zinsa Venesra Labaila, Ragza Noev, Vimhu Yishtok Ein Adam Yodea Vein Kan Chilul Hashem Klal. That if this guy doesn't tell the husband, he and the wife are the only two people on earth who know about this. So if he doesn't say anything, there won't be a Chilul Hashem that will come out later, and maybe Kavod HaBrios wins the day. Okay, that's another possibility. Maybe you can be makel along those lines with the Rambam. Okay, I mean, Pashas is not, but if you're going to paskin like the Rush anyway, you don't want to feel like what you're doing flies in the face of the Rambam, so this is a way you could appease the Shitas HaRambam a little bit. Maybe he dafka only meant when it's a Chilul Hashem. And you could also, by the way, you could read that into our Tosfos. Well, what did we say? Which answer of Tosfos agrees with the Rambam? It's almost black on white the same. The second answer of Tosfos says that when someone else is violating Avera, but Kumvaseh, it's Chashiv like it's Kumvaseh, and therefore you have to go to court and tell them that the husband is still alive. Right? So you could say the same thing. Why do you have to go to court and tell them the husband is still alive? Not only because the person's going to be committing Gilui Arayos when she gets remarried, but because it'll eventually come out. It'll eventually come out that the husband is still alive, and then who's going to look bad? Everybody's going to look bad, right? The Beis Din will look like fools because they permitted a woman whose husband was still alive to remarry. The husband who was missing is going to feel like a fool, even if he didn't look like a fool. The new husband's going to look like a fool. The woman's going to look like a fool. And the Talmud Chacham who didn't show up to Beis Din is going to look like a fool. So everyone, it's going to be a tremendous Chilul Hashem. So you could say such a svara that maybe Tosfos was relying on that as well, like the note you don't want to say in the Rambam. What's the main reason you don't want to say such a thing? Don't think too hard. What's the reason? I'm serious, don't think too hard. What's the reason you don't want to say such a thing? Why don't we want to say that Tosfos and the Rambam are saying this svara of Chilul Hashem? You all know the answer, you're just not thinking of it. Why? In other words, if I'm reading the Rambam, if I'm reading Tosfos, and now I see this Chiddush of the Noda Behuda, that maybe they only hold this way when it's going to be a Chilul Hashem. Correct. You don't want to say things that the Rishonim had a chance to say but didn't say. Right? Generally speaking, when you say a biur in the Rishonim, you want it to be within the words of the Rishonim. Meaning the Rishonim said this, and this is how you read the words. When you then start adding more words, that's not as good. You know, you don't want to be adding words to the Rishonim if you can avoid it. Right? That's what we're doing here. We're adding words. The Rambam knows what a Chilul Hashem is. He could have said something about it. Tosfos knows what a Chilul Hashem is. He could have said something about it, or they could have said something about it, and they don't. Right? So it's, again, this is what we call a throw-in. Maybe we would call in halacha a sniff lahakel, right? But it's definitely not something that we're looking forward to saying within the Rishonim. Okay? Now, skipping along the lines, he says, listen, Lemaisa, I'm picking it up from about six lines from the bottom, if you have it. Ubifracha Ramah, Simon Shin Gimel, Pasuk Kavaz, the Ramah, Pasuk is like the Rush, and therefore, I think, or I'm, I actually started too early, Elisha Yachala Omer Lo. Yachala Omer Lomer Kedaya Rush Lismochala. Maybe you could just say, listen, without the Rambam, you could still be Somich on the Sheet of the Rush, and that's because the Ramah actually paskins like the Rush, and therefore, maybe you would say, you'd come to the conclusion he doesn't have to tell. Now comes the Noda Behuda and says, okay, now that we've learned the Sugya nicely, we have to throw a monkey wrench into the whole process and ruin everything. Why? He says, because if you look carefully in the words of the Rush, it doesn't work. He quotes the Yerushalmi, Shah Achas. So he says that Gadol Kavod HaBriyah Shedoches HaMitzvah Belosa Say Shah Achas. That's the Rush quoting the Yerushalmi. Harei shegam hamatir lo hitir mipnei hakavod ki imsha achas. You only matir mishum kavod abrios for a short time, 1 hour. As soon as he gets home, he's going to take it off. He's not going to wear it again. This guy is going to be violating an Isser D'Oraisa every single time he's intimate with his wife for the rest of his life. The iser vaday she'en kavod abrias doche ha iser kol hayamim afilu leharosh. He says, it's you're pretty much stuck at that point. Pretty much stuck. Can't get the guy to violate the iser for his entire life. And we have this. I mentioned this in Shir a few weeks ago. We have this concept in Tosfos, in the beginning of Maseches Ksuvis. Remember, the opening sugya in Ksuvis is Besula Nisis Liyom Ravi, right? So Rashi points out, what's the reason why Besula Nisis Liyom Ravi? Because let's say he sees that she's not a Besula, then he's going to try to find Edim that she was Mezana Tachta, that she's a Suratim. And Tosfos asks the Kasha and says, I don't get it. Even if it turns out that she's not a Besula, we have the Gemara later on in Daf Test that says there's a Sfeik Sfeika. And therefore, she's going to be mutter to him anyway. What's going to happen? The guy's going to come to Beis Din, and he's going to say, my wife is not a basula. She claimed she was a basula. She's not a basula. So what are we going to say to him? Okay, go home. Live the rest. It turns out your wife's not a basula. Sorry to hear that. Now go home and live happily ever after. This is fake sveika. Suffolk, tachtov, suffolk, low tachtov, suffolk, onis, suffolk, ratzon, right? Maybe, even though she's not a basula, maybe she was mezane before the erisin. Or, maybe even if she was mezane during the erisin, she did not do so willingly, maybe she was nensa. And therefore, we don't care that she's not a basula, she's muteris to you. So Rashi says, no, maybe they'll find Edim that she was Mizana Tachta. Tells like, oh, you got to find Edim. There's no Edim. What are you talking about? So he says, it's a Sveik Sveik. He says, what answer? It tells us it's a low plug. So because if she was an Ashes Kohen, even if she was Netensa, she'd be a Surah Labayla. Doesn't matter. Or a second possibility, if he was Mekadesher when she was less than 3 years old, also. We know for a fact that it's tachtav, and therefore even there's only one suffix, maybe she was nensa. Those are the only two possibilities. So once we say that, we only have one suffix, and up to those cases made a low plug for all of Klai so that she can marry it on Wednesday. You know, you with me so far? You guys remember this a little bit? No? If you don't, I'll explain it better. All right, Lamaisa, if you didn't understand that part, it's not so bad. Because then Tosfos goes on and asks a different question. And this answers the low plug question also. Basically, the kasha on the low plug is less than 10% of Klal Yisrael or 10% of Klal Yisrael fit into the category where it makes sense to force them to get married on Wednesday. So you're going to force 90%+ of Klal Yisrael to get married on Wednesday just because 10% of Klal Yisrael has to get married on Wednesday? Doesn't make a lot of sense at all. And furthermore, Tosfos at the end of this whole discussion asks the Kasha, they bring a raya from the Gemara in Gittin. It's Machlokish, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish. Why they write a Zman and a Get? Right? So one, you guys ever do this Gemara? So one answer is because of the Lekuchos, right? Because of the Lekuchos that maybe they're going to try to cheat the Lekuchos, they're going to forge the date on the get, and they're going to try to seize property that they don't really have the right to seize. They're going to pull some shtick. And the other mandamer says Shemichap al Basachoso, right? Maybe she's going to be Mizaneh, and then they're going to bring her to Bezin and want to kill her. But since they give the scenario that she's his niece. Right, so even though maybe a husband would be very angry at his wife if she was Mizana and he would want her to be killed, but let's say she's his niece, and therefore he's not going to want his sister to go through all that pain. So therefore he says, So he's going to say, no, we were actually divorced at that time. So the man Darmru says, Mishum Lukuchos, why doesn't he say Shemicha Babasachos? So he gives the answer, Znus Lo Shchiach. Znus Lo Shchiach. Right? It's not common. What are you talking about? We're going to find Znus? So Tosa says, Znus Lo Shchiach. So what do you mean? Znus Lo Shchiach, why should we ever make a takana? They have to get married on Wednesday. If the whole reason they're going to get married on Wednesday is because of Znus, and then maybe they're going to come and she's going to be Asuratim. Znus Lo Shchiach. Why would we have, what do we have a klal? Milsa de lo shchicha lo gazur barabanan. We're not going to make such a takana. That's Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos answers two terutz in this. And number one, not really, unfortunately. One assumes the Jewish people are better and one assumes they're not better. Right? One says, no, really Znus is shchiach. Really, Znus Ishchiach. Unfortunately. But, Znus with Edom and Asura. What kind of person? You always wonder who gets Misa? Who gets Misa in Klal Yisrael? The Shnuk who there's Edom and Asura, they're standing there watching him do the Avera. Like, what? Who is that guy? You know, how stubborn is a person going to be that they're still going to do the Avera after Edom and Asura? Tokede Dibur with Kabbalah Sasra, with everything. What are you kidding? Who's going to do that? Right? So we're going to say Znus is Shchiach with Edom and Asra. That's very hard to imagine. Right? So that is... one second. I'm sorry. I'm just trying. So that's answer number one of Tosfos. Znus is Lo Shchiach under these types of circumstances. Nobody's going to commit Znus with Edom and Asra Ad Kedei Kach that they're going to be Chayev Misa. So how many times? So you're going to find a case where the guy, the woman was Mizaneh with Edom and Asra, and she's his niece. So he's going to try to save her, right? So that already, we're going to make a takana. Every get on earth has to have a date written in it. What are you kidding? Every get ought to that? Come on, that's Lo Shchiach. That's one answer. Inami, or else, end of the Tosfos. We don't want them to be living in sin for their entire lives. Right? That's the reason. There were choshish viznus, even though it's uncommon. Meaning the klal of milsa de lo shchicha lo gazru barabanan is true in general when there's a one-time iser. But they're going to live their whole lives in sin? No, that we're not willing to allow. So what do you see? You see that there is a qualitative difference, not just quantitative. There's a qualitative difference between an isser that's violated once versus an isser that's violated constantly. You hear? So I don't think the Nodav Yudin mentions this. Does he mention this, Tosfos? I think it's a nice throw-in. I think it's a nice throw-in to explain it. Yeah.
Why is the case of Kelayim he keeps the piece of clothing,
he's
going to wear it again?
He might wear it again, but we're assuming that the pshat is what. So if you learn the Yerushalmi this way, and he goes on trying to figure out what's the actual pshat in the Yerushalmi, is there a machlokes Bavli in the Yerushalmi? And he concludes, no. The Bavli and the Yerushalmi are on the same page. They hold this, and that's why the Rush holds that it's dafka if you're going to be doing it temporarily. But we're assuming that what it means is, like in all the other cases, don't say anything to the guy, but avada, you follow him home, and once he's at home, you tell him. You know? You don't just like, all right, I'll ignore him for now and go on my merry way. No, you still want to stop him from wearing it as soon as it's not going to be covered abrius anymore. Once it's no longer an issue of covenant of brios, then you tell him, right? Okay. So, and by the way, just from the ksuvah's perspective, since I'm sure you all care, that answers all the kashas. By the way, that answers the kasha. How could the kasha? How could you have a low plug that only applies to? You have a low plug starting from. It applies to 10% of the population. So we throw in the rest. The answer is. Going to be violating an Isser all your life. All the bets are off. All the rules are canceled. Similar, Tosfos' Kasha and Rashi. You're going to find Edom. Baloney, you're not going to find Edom. Right? It says, no. When it comes to the possibility of them living in sin their entire life, we grasp at straws. We look for Edim to make sure that that's not what we're dealing with over here. So you see that there's a severity to, it's not just that we look at it as, it's not just that we look at it as quantitative, that, okay, so how did we say shot in the rush was, that we view this as Sheva Altasa versus Kavod Abrios, and I'm sorry, we look at it as the Isser versus Kavod Abrios, they're at a stalemate, therefore be B'Sheva Altasa, right? So he said, no, it's not just that, okay, there it is again, there it is again, there it is again, there it is again. Every time, it's a stalemate, and then it's you're supposed to be B'Sheva Altasa. That's not how we look at it. We look at it as once the Avera is constant and it keeps happening, there's a qualitative difference now. There's a qualitative difference between an Avera that's constantly being repeated versus an Avera that's going to happen once or twice. You know, which is a Chiddush. What's the Pshat? You know, can anybody figure out what the difference is? Why would there be a qualitative difference versus just a quantitative difference? I mean, you could say there's no qualitative difference, just once the quantity gets so bad, you know? So then already, whatever. I don't know. I have some ideas, but I'd rather think about it a little more than just, but I think it's worth your thoughts to try to think about, like, why would violating an Avera constantly be worse, meaning like one times zero is still zero every time, you know? So if you end up with Sheval Tasa Adif, it should be Sheval Tasa Adif for your whole life. Yeah, I'm sorry, what do you want to say?
When you reflect that you care less, that like, you have less for something, you don't.
What do you mean?
Right, I'm sure.
I think about it. I think there are definitely ways you could develop a thought here. You know, so I think if you have something, try to develop it. It's a worthwhile answer, you know, to solve the problem. Because l'chora, this, at least according to the Behuda, this is the Shita of the Rush, and therefore it's worthwhile to try to understand it. And we know it's the Shita of Tosfos that we don't want people to violate numerous Isurim Daraisa their whole lives versus a single Isur Daraisa. Maybe that's a little different, but l'maisa we see that there is a difference. Okay. So I'm just skipping towards the end of the halachic part of the tshuva, where he says, "Im kein poshut adavar shechayv lahagid lebala isha lohodia sheishto zinsa sheyifarish yifrosh mimenu." So I paskin. He has to tell her, and then he has some. Other issues that he might want to clarify. He says, first of all, what should he tell? What should he tell? Should he say, I was mezana with your wife? Or should he say, your wife was mezana? Should he say, I happen to know on some good authority that your wife was mezana? Right? He doesn't have to explain why he knows so well. He can just explain that she was mezana. So, and he says, maybe that's really a valid approach. Right? Maybe it's a valid approach. There's no reason to, it's not going to help this guy at all to clarify who the Avarian is, etc. It's not going to do anybody any good. But he says in the next paragraph, Kol zel islamid mokum she'acher kegon ish nachri yodea be'isha eshes ish shezinsa aval kan be'uvda Hadain Shizel Atzmo Anoif. If you are the guilty party, who Atzmo who a machshil as bala isha shehuba averim ishto kolayamim. You're the reason for the whole problem. Ubalachzer b'tshuva. You want to now be chozer. Pshita shemechuyav lahaser hamachshela asher hichshil v'chol titzdaki de'efshel le'lemevid shelo yechta od chavero al yado mechuyav lasos. You have to do everything in your power to try to make this guy believe you. And one of those ways is telling him that you know because it was you. The guy is going to be much more prone to believing you if you admit that you're the guilty party, and not only, so he says, you have a tremendous obligation. You have a tremendous obligation to make the Baal believe you. And if he then chooses not to believe you, that's not your problem. He's allowed to not believe you. But if he chooses not to believe you, you don't have to worry about it. But you have to do what you can to try to make it clear that it was you, and that will add to the believability of your statement. And he says, "Lemaisa," in the next paragraph, "Adavar Poshut Sagishi Odila Balavado." You don't have to make an announcement in front of Beis Din and try to get the Beis Din to try to force them to get divorced. That's not necessary. You should tell it just to the husband. Umimanavshach imikabel abal dvarav yifrosh mina isha v'tovlo. If he accepts what you're saying is true, he'll get divorced. Meaning, to bring the courts into this, it's not going to help anything because the husband doesn't have to listen to the Beis Din. They don't have any power to believe in Eid Echad that the guy's usher to his wife. Check it out. Quotes the Gemara, Kufi Gimel Mebeis. It's Ki'ilo, you're being Motzi Shemra on the person. Just to stam, go out there and make accusations, even true accusations, in a case where there's not going to be any nafkamina, that's not helpful. And we would even give the guy Makas Mardis under those situations. You're stam being Motzi Shemra on somebody else. So either it's Lashon Hara or it's Motzi Shemra. Those are your two choices because there's nothing productive that's going to come from it. Right? And then skipping to the middle of the next page. V'lachena eitza ye'utza b'zeh. My advice is, shanoif yagid rak l'balisha b'atzneya. You should tell him in private. V'hinei ofen agad al piyadit. Adin lo yelomer rak she yada she zinsa ishto ki malo labal mi zinsa. Really, the halach is you don't have to tell him who the other guy was. Halo al kolponim asura he lo. She's still going to be also the husband regardless. Him kein ma lami yafarsim. I know if it's avona bechina mikvaramu etc. Bechet she inam afursim ksiv ashrei nasui pesha kisui chata. Right, you're supposed to cover it up as much as you can, not to just stand around telling people what a sinner you are. V'gam chatzif mandamavir. It's considered disrespectful to go around talking about your sins. Omnam kevan shemitzad asvara yoser yikansu dvara b'enei abal kishiyir shemizvad al atzmo. Since we think that the husband will accept his words because he's saying it about himself, bevechi, with crying, uvanacha, with groaning and sighing, v'nikarim divrei emes. It'll be clear that his words are true. V'lachin tov lo sheyizvade b'tzina b'fnei bala isha shu'ata chama, his current father-in-law. Right? It's always fun. V'mizbayish b'zeh b'fnei chama tov lo sheyizbayish. And if it's embarrassing, that's a good thing. But over Avera Mizbaish Ba Mochlin Lo. Because if you do an Avera and you're embarrassed about the Avera you did, that's good cause for Mechila. Gam Nirila Niyaz Daiti Shechayev Al Koponim Levakesh Al Atzmo Me'ez Chamov. He also has to ask Mechila. Right? He says, it's not enough. He says, a new problem is that it's not enough to just admit that you sinned. You also have to ask Mechila from the party whom you have wronged. And in this case, it's certainly an Avera, both Beinam LaMakom and an Avera Beinam LaChavero. You literally broke up this guy's marriage. And therefore, it's a tremendous Avera Beinam LaChavero. You can't expect to get any kind of kapara until you're Mevakesh Mechila from the father, or from the husband, whatever, that he should forgive you. And then you could at least start your tshuva process to try to get back into the Rabbonu Shalom's good graces as well. Okay, that's all I want to do from the Tshuva of the Noda Bihuda. It's worth noting if you have some more free time, it's not a short tshuva either, that Reb Chaim Tzanzer, the Divrei Chaim, he has a tshuva. Ironically, it's also Simon Lamed Hey in his Sefer Chaos and Tshuva Divrei Chaim. And in the Divrei Chaim, he argues on the Noda Bihuda, and he comes to the conclusion that you are not mechuyev to tell. You're not mechuyev to tell. I think he was dealing with a different case. But he starts off quoting the Noda Bihuda, and he argues on him on a number of points. I don't want to get involved in all the different discussions, because I think when it comes to this topic, Vinod Yehuda is considered the classic tshuva. Doesn't mean that's the only way to paskin, but nevertheless, you should just know that Divrei Chaim disagrees with the Vinod Yehuda, and he has a nice tshuva where he tries to refute some of the Vinod Yehuda's claims. Okay, if you get a chance to check it out. Fine. Let's go back to the actual sugya now. So now, armed with the Vinod Yehuda's analysis of the Rambam versus the Rush, and who had Nami, we plugged it in to the two Deos and Tosfos. So armed with this, we tried to understand what the Machlokis is all about, and we said Rabbi Chanan's Chakira, we said the Stipler's Chakira, you know, basically the same idea, that it's all about, do we view that the two Avero, the two Inyanim, Kavod Abrios versus the Avera, are equal, and therefore it is you who should be B'Shev Al Tasa? Or do we say that no, it's the Avera B'Shev Al Tasa versus the Avera B'Kum Va'aseh that we look at differently? That was the basic Hakira in terms of how to understand it. Now, Rabbi Chanan had a kasha about this. He wasn't so sold that this is an excellent... It wasn't so sold that this was an excellent Hakira. He says, wait a second. Let me see if I can speak it out clearly. One second. Did I not write this down? Oh, before we get to that, I'm sorry. I'm just going out of order. Before we get to that, so Rabbi Chanan gives an interesting reason why he thinks that it's that the Rambam / the second answer of Tosfos makes sense. Meaning, you have a silly kasha, right? Which is naniach that the other guy is doing an aver b'kum v'aseh. Okay, so he's doing an aver b'kum v'aseh. I'm not doing an aver b'kum v'aseh by not coming to Beis Din. I'm not doing an aver b'kum v'aseh by not ripping the kilayim off of the guy. So how can you say that this is an avera b'kum v'aseh versus kavod abrios? I'm still b'shev al tasa. My avera, whatever it is still going to be b'shev al tasa. Right? You with me on this? If I don't go to court and testify, I did something b'kum v'aseh? No. I'm the one who sat at home and did nothing. My avera was not going to Beis Din. His avera was Gilui Arayos b'kum v'aseh. My avera was not ripping off the kilayim from him. His avera was wearing kilayim b'kum v'aseh. So how, even if you say that an avera b'kum v'aseh is worse than kavod abrios, I'm not doing an avera b'kum v'aseh. Sach hakol, he's the one doing the avera b'kum v'aseh. So Rabbi Chanan wanted to answer that based on the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says that somebody who sees someone else doing an Avera and doesn't protest against it, a person who has the ability to protest against someone doing an Avera, he's nitvas ba'oso avon. He's considered guilty of the same sin, or he is punished for the same sin. That's the way that Rabbi Chanan wants to say the pshat is. However, Stipler is not such a big fan of this. And the truth is, if you read Rashi on that Gemara, Rashi seems to say that it means that he's punished for the sin along with the sinner. But it's not like he did the sin. You don't have to say that's what Rashi means. But Rashi says, when he's nitfas ba'oso avon, it means he's punished for the sin as well. So Rabbi Chanan understands that means no, because it's Keilu, he did it. Right? So Mela, it's like you sinned b'kum v'aseh because you allowed the sin to happen b'kum v'aseh. You could have prevented it. But You don't have to say that. You could just say that it's you're punished for it. Not everything that you're punished for did you do. You understand? You could sometimes be on the hook for an aver that you didn't do. Rabbi Chanan would say, what are you talking about? If you didn't do it, you can't get punished for it. So it's ke'ilu, you did it. And that's why it's considered like you did an aver b'kum v'aseh. Stipler doesn't like that so much. He just wanted to explain slightly differently. And he just says that we look at it from a global perspective. Meaning, in the Torah view of what's going on here, the Torah has Kavod HaBrios, and the Torah has Avera B'kum V'aseh. Therefore, Kavod HaBrios loses to the Avera B'kum V'aseh. In the case, you look at the case as a whole. You don't look at it as what am I doing versus what is he doing. We look at it as, in this scenario, there's an Avera B'kum V'aseh, which is worse than Kavod HaBrios. Therefore, the Avera should be prevented instead of Kavod HaBrios, or at the expense of Kavod HaBrios. It doesn't matter who's doing the Avera B'kum V'aseh, and it doesn't matter who's, you know, it doesn't matter who's Kavod HaBrios. It just matters that there are two things that are going to, that there are two variables that need to be weighed. Kavod HaBrios loses to an Avera B'kum V'aseh. It's my Kavod HaBrios and his Avera B'kum V'aseh, so what? Your Kavod HaBrios loses to his Avera B'kum V'aseh, just like his Kavod HaBrios loses to your Avera B'kum V'aseh. Doesn't matter. We look at the case as a whole, not who's doing what. You understand? Either way, you got to say something either like the Stipler or like Rabbi Chanan, or another suggestion perhaps, because otherwise, where does the whole thing even get started from? How can you say that he's going to do an Avera and my Kavod HaBrios has to suffer? Right, Mela, in the case where he's doing an Aveir and his Kavod HaBrios has to suffer, okay, I get it. But he's doing an Aveir and my Kavod HaBrios has to suffer? Why? The answer is because we look at the case as a whole. Or because you could have prevented the sin, therefore it's Kilu, you did it. Those are two possibilities that we find. Okay. The next issue is you're on your way to Shechta Korban Pesach. What happens? You see a Meis Mitzvah in front of you. What are you supposed to do? What? You got to bury the Meis Mitzvah? No Korban Pesach for you. Right? So ask Rabbi Chanan, how does that make sense? If they're really equal, then what would Sheva Al Tasa be for me? What would Sheva Al Tasa be for me? What? Sheva Al Tasa would be either way, right? Sheva Al Tasa would be either way. Either I'll be Sheva Al Tasa on the Meis Mitzvah, or I'll be Sheva Al Tasa on the Korban Pesach. But you shouldn't say automatically that Meis Mitzvah wins. You hear? So therefore, Rabbi Chanan rejects the day of the rush. He thinks that either that biur in the rush is not correct, or we reject that day in the rush in favor of the Rambam. So the first answer in Tosfos / the day of the rush is not correct. It's along the lines of what he says. Stipler says, not so fast. You don't have to. What? Kavod HaBrios. Meis Mitzvah is Kavod HaBrios. Meis Mitzvah is Kavod HaBrios. Korban Pesach is Korban Pesach. And therefore, if I bury this dead person for Kavod HaBrios, I will not be able to bring the Korban Pesach.
What do you mean that?
So I should have a choice. They're equal. They're equal.
Why?
Right? No, in other words, the way that we understood the rush is that Kavod HaBrios is equal to an Isser B'Sheva Al Tasa, or a Mitzvah Saseh B'Sheva Al Tasa. So I should be allowed to bury the dead body and not to bring the Korban Pesach, or I should be allowed to continue what I was doing anyway. right? And therefore, I should be able to continue bringing the Korban Pesach and avoid the Kavod HaBrios issue. Why is that any better? Why does the Gemara say, no, you must bury the Mace Mitzvah? Right? So that's the kasha that he has against this way of learning the Rush. And then he says, must be that that's difficult. So the Stipler wants to say that he doesn't think it's such a kasha. Where does he say it inside? No, because he says like this. Once you say the guy could do whatever he wants, Yeshlomar Dimela, Chaiblisasik Bakuras Mace Mitzvah. Shuhula fun of Mamish. The Mace Mitzvah is right in front of him. Meaning, what's the scenario of the Mace Mitzvah? What's the scenario? He's walking to Yerushalayim. Then what happens? Sees a dead body lying on the road. What's he going to do? He looks around. Is anybody going to take care of this here? Where's Hatzalah, Misaskin, whatever, the whole, you know, all the organizations. Where are they? They're gone. They're nobody. Nobody's coming. If I don't do this, no one's going to do it. Let's say there are other people to do it. Why do you let the other people do it? You go on your way. There's no Kavod HaBrios issue here. It's not a Mace Mitzvah. The definition of the Mace Mitzvah is you're the only one there. So Meila, once you say that you have a choice, you don't have a choice anymore because this is the Mitzvah that's right in front of your face. You understand? This is the Mitzvah that's right in front of you. Now you must do that one. If the Korban Pesach would be right in front of you, you do the Korban Pesach. If the Mace Mitzvah is right in front of you, you do the Mace Mitzvah. That's what it means, Shev Al Taseh. Doesn't mean you do nothing. It means that since they're equal, do what's right in front of your face.
Could you say that also for that case that
Bal Ta'acher is saying because of what? He had a neder? Well, there's an Isser Bal Ta'acher by the Korban Pesach. I thought Bal Ta'acher is only when you made a neder.
I don't know.
I could be mistaken. I'm not sure. Okay. So then he brings a different problem. So he says, if you're going to say that they're equal, so then really you should continue on your way and bring the Korban Pesach. Why? Because we have a klal gadol called Osig B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. Right? So you already started doing the mitzvah Korban Pesach, which you could prove from the Gemara and Sukkah, from Rashi, from others. You could prove you're definitely called Osig B'mitzvah once you're on your way to Shech the Korban Pesach. So Meila, if they're both equal, so yes, the Mace Mitzvah is the mitzvah that's in front of me, but I should continue doing the mitzvah that I was Osek in. You hear?
What about it?
Yeah, but I'm already doing the first one. It would be Ma'avirin on the first mitzvah more. Saying I'm Osek B'mitzvah. So you're saying that the fact that I'm being Osek B'mitzvah shows that I should be able to continue doing the Korban Pesach, and that's and therefore I shouldn't have to stop bringing the Korban Pesach in order to do the Mace Mitzvah. So the Stipler is stuck with this kasha, and he says Elamai, you have to say that Osik B'Mitzvah over here proves that Mace Mitzvah is bigger than Shechitas HaPesach. Mace Mitzvah is bigger. And you can't say the pshat that they're both equal. But, he says, in other cases, in the machlokes between the Rambam and the Rush by Kilayim, you can say that they're equal. And in the machlokes and Deis and Tosfos, you can say the pshat that they're equal. But you cannot say it in the case of Meis Mitzvah and the Karban Pesach, because there, the difference is, he's already osik in one mitzvah rather than the second. So that's a raya that you can't say that pshat. And the Rush would have to adjust, or Tosfos would have to adjust what they say for the case of Meis Mitzvah versus what they'll say from everything else. And it turns out that Meis Mitzvah is a bigger mitzvah. It beats Shechitas HaPesach B'Sheva Al Ta'asa. To the extent that even though you're Osek B'Mitzvah, you have to then stop what you're doing and be Osek in the Meis Mitzvah. So therefore, he says, I'm not backing out of the whole deal. I'm not backing out of the analysis of our sugya, but for one case, I am backing out. One case is that Meis Mitzvah is the exception to the rule. It doesn't prove the rule. The problem with saying that, and I don't really have an answer to this problem, but the problem with saying that is what? Where does the whole chiluk between Kumbase and Sheva Al Ta'asa come from? Where does the whole chiluk come from? It comes from that case. The Gemara in Brachas said that, why don't we use this as a binyan app to learn for Kol Tar Kula? No. Sheva Al Ta'asa is different. Okay, without this case, do we even have the chiluk? That's the source. So you see that it's not so pashut. You see that it's not so pashut. Lemaisa, you have other problems also. Once you bring in the issue of Osik B'Mitzvah, Potem and HaMitzvah, you have other problems. I don't think Osik, for some reason, Osik B'Mitzvah, meaning once you bring in Osik B'Mitzvah, that you're on your way to Shechita Karban Pesach, and therefore you're going to be Potem from everything, so it's shaykh to talk about the Shita of the Ritva. Sheet of the Ritva is that all other mitzvos are considered ki'ilu advar rishus. And the Stipler only looked at it from one perspective. The Stipler's perspective was, when you're going to Shechta Karban Pesach, you can't say that the Meis Mitzvah is ki'ilu the mitzvah in front of you. Because the Karban Pesach is the mitzvah in front of you, because you're osik b'mitzvah. Right? You hear what I'm saying? But you could ask a much better kasha, according to the Stipler. You could ask a much better kasha, which is that according to the Ritva Shita, that if you're going to do the Korban Pesach, the Meis Mitzvah is ke'ilu, it's a reshus. You hear? The Meis Mitzvah is ke'ilu reshus for you. Because the Ritva Shita is that when you're osek in Mitzvah A, Mitzvah B is a reshus. And you have no right to stop doing Mitzvah A, because it's a mitzvah, to do a reshus. So couldn't you? You don't even have to come on. You don't have to come on to saying, "No, it's ki'ilu I'm osik in A, and that's the mitzvah that's in front of me." You have a much better kasha. And even if you hold that, not like the Ritva, you still have the stipulous problem. But it's clear that once you throw in osik b'mitzvah, you're throwing out whatever the rules are of kavod abrius. You're automatically now saying that, "Oh, when I throw in osik b'mitzvah." So now, I have osik b'mitzvah in mitzvahs Karban Pesach. I have burying the Meis Mitzvah. So Meis Mitzvah is going to be the exception to all the rules. You hear? It's going to be the exception to all the rules. You with me on this? So how do we understand any of it? So, And lest you say, okay, that's a fair point, then how could the Gemara suggest we should use Meis Mitzvah as a binyan av to use that kavod abrios is docha alosa se shebetorah? How can we use that if we're also going to say that you're osik b'mitzvah and it beats the rules of osik b'mitzvah patim and a mitzvah? Meaning, the Gemara answers, Sheva Al Ta'asa Shaini, right? Sheva Al Ta'asa Shaini. answer a better teretz. What's the better teretz? He's already osik b'mitzvah. This is the exception to every rule. So how could you use it as a binyan av to teach me kavod abrius pitzin isudoraisa? That's what I would have said. Does that make sense? Once we're saying that meis mitzvah beats osik b'mitzvah also, so then the Gemara should have said, this is the exception, not the rule. Not that the Gemara should have said, well, yeah, you're right, it is a good prototype, but it's sheva al tasa. So now we learn out a new rule? That kavod abrius beats a mitzvah b'sheva al tasa. But it's the exception to the rule to begin with. So it's a weasel move by me, but I think you can just say to the stipler, listen, whatever the answer is to that kasha is also the answer to that kasha. You understand? Meaning, the Gemara for some reason says that we don't care about osik b'mitzvah in this case. Right? Otherwise, the Gemara would have mentioned it. You're on your way to Shechta the Korban Pesach, and then you see a meis mitzvah. So the response should be, osik b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. The Gemara does not mention osik mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah at all. It says, no, classic case, kavod abrius versus shechitas ha-pesach. Right? So if that's true, why don't we just say, osik b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah? Because clearly the Gemara doesn't care. So once the Gemara doesn't care, and the Gemara says, ein achinami, this would be an excellent binyan av for kol tar kula, and doesn't say, oh, osik b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. So then, okay, so the Gemara doesn't care, then I don't care. You hear what I'm saying? So I don't know, I don't know what a good answer is. I mean, I don't know what a good answer is, but whatever the answer is applies to both the stipler and the Gemara. So therefore, I don't think the stipler should have left it as a tzarech iyun on that one case. Because the Gemara thinks that case is the same as every other case. So it's not my fault. So the way I'm drawing it up here is that the stipler is against the Gemara. You understand? So his kasha, the Gemara doesn't think is a kasha. So I haven't answered it, but I've at least proven that the Gemara doesn't think this is a kasha. Okay, what could be an answer? I don't know, I wrote something in my notes a bunch of years ago. Now that I'm thinking about it, it doesn't seem so good. Whatever. It's not so good. But the bottom line is, for whatever reason, meis mitzvah is an exception to certain things, right? We don't say p'tur osik b'mitzvah patur mina mitzvah when it comes to meis mitzvah. We don't. So the stipler says, v'meila, you see, meis mitzvah is bigger than dot dot dot. The answer is meis mitzvah is bigger than everything. Binogeya to klali amitzvos, in that sense. Binogeya to osik b'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah, meis mitzvah is bigger. Right? And you know what? I don't know. Tell me if this is crazy. It's so simple, it must be wrong. Saying, I mean, like, I don't mean it's wrong because it's simple. I mean, like, the stipler would have obviously said this. Isn't the definition of meis mitzvah that it flies in the face of osik b'mitzvah? Like we said before, the stipler said this point, the definition of meis mitzvah is that it's all on you right now. Right? You hear what I'm saying? I'm on my way to do the Korban Pesach. I see a dead body on the road. Okay? I got to take care of it. What do you mean you got to take care of it? Go do the Korban Pesach. No. They're equal, so I have to take care of the mitzvah that's in front of me. Right? That's what the stipler said. Memela, isn't that the definition of meis mitzvah all the time? this is what you have to do. Understand? It's just inherent in the case of Meis Mitzvah. You, by definition, have nothing better to do. You understand? There is nothing better to do than this. Not because Kavod Abrios is bigger than something else. It's just that's the quirk of Meis Mitzvah. You hear? Meaning, just like the Stipler said, Meis Mitzvah is in front of you right now. Hu adinami ben ogeta osik be mitzvah patur ben mitzvah. Meis Mitzvah is in front of you right now. Meaning, you can't say, what's the whole yisod of osik be mitzvah? I can't deal with that. I have better things to do. What's the definition of better? What I'm doing right now. The definition of Meis Mitzvah is, you have to do this right now. No one else will do it. This is what you have to do. This is what's on your agenda, right? Ozik b'mitzvah means, no, I have a different agenda. Meis Mitzvah means you can't have anything else on the agenda. This is what's front and center right now. I'll miss other things. I'm doing something else. No. The definition of Meis Mitzvah is that this is what you're doing now. You have to do it now. So, the Stipler, I don't know why he wouldn't want to say this, but I think that's a quirk in Meis Mitzvah. Not that Meis Mitzvah is automatically bigger. It's that inherent in the yesod of Meis Mitzvah is that Osik Mitzvah wouldn't apply to it. Right? I'm in the middle of davening and somebody in the shul drops dead. Right? Let's say, we're the only, it's not a minyan, and we're only two people in shul. So I should just, finish Shmon Esrei and... and whatever, and go on my way because I have other mitzvahs to do. No, I got to deal with this. I can't leave it in hopes that eventually someone else will deal with it. I have to deal with it now. I have mitzvahs to do. You got to do it. That's the quirk of Meis Mitzvah. Yeah.
Long chat, but could you maybe say from the
at the same time.
Yeah, so I don't know at the same time, but he's not actually Osek.
Right. So the Stipler wanted to say that that's not true because we have the concept of, for example, it says in Rashi in Sukkah, that's what the other Chevra is learning, right? It says in Rashi that Haholich Lilmo Torah, he's going on his way to the Beis Medrash. He's going to Mekabel Pnei Rabbo. He's going on Sukkah Chavav. The Gemara says that they slept outside the Sukkah because they were going to visit the Reish Galusa. So even on their way, they weren't visiting the Reish Galusa right now. The mitzvah is not to walk there. The mitzvah is when you get there and do it. Right?
He has to do both at the same time, but he's not really...
No, but his point is that he thinks it's a strong enough case to say that when you're going, that's called Osing the Mitzvah already. Even if you're not... Yeah, I don't know. I would have said that just... We're talking about the two mitzvos aseh sheyesh bom karis. That's why we bring in those two. Why we bring in those two, that's a good discussion. Also, maybe aseh sheyesh bom karis has the same din of a los aseh in certain things. There's room to prove that. We're not going to get involved in that right now. But I think he's just dafka bringing in those two. Not that he's doing one and the other, and he hasn't decided yet, so therefore he's not called osing a mitzvah. He's doing one or the other. I think you have to say along those lines. Okay. All right. In the end, the Stipler has another mahalach, which is slightly different, which is also very nice. So you should check it out if you can. But we're out of time. I just wanted to point out one thing. You remember the whole thing I said 2 days ago with the Rambam does not actually make the chiluk between kumvase and sheval tase, and I said it's against everybody. So the truth is it's against most everybody. The Or Sameach does say that as well. Or Sameach says that the Rambam... The way the Or Sameach says is he points out that the Rambam neglects to mention... The Or Sameach, by the way, is in Hilchos Kilayim. It's not where I put it on the Maariv Makomo sheet. It's in Hilchos Kilayim, on the Rambam there. He points out that there is the Rambam's Gemara might not have had the Girsa of Sheval Tase, And he quotes from the Baal HaMa'or that such a girsa does exist. Meaning the Baal HaMa'or notes that some Gemaras didn't have that line. So it could be that the Rambam's Gemara didn't have that girsa, or you can explain the Rambam the way I tried to explain him a couple days ago. Okay, just pointing out that it's not against everybody.